Blog Talk Radio.
Their treasures were opened, and they presented unto him gifts. And therein is a glorious revelation of the Spirit. And it is this, that when you and I will humble ourselves and begin to worship, the treasure that is in this earthen vessel begins to open up. Somebody say yes. And the gifts of the Spirit of God that are within us begin to flow. I believe that we will worship God with our whole heart, our whole spirit and soul. God's presence and power will begin to move in this place. People can be healed and delivered even while we're worshiping and recording. Does anybody believe that with me? I want you to lift up your hands.
Take me past the outer court and through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I long to see your face. Pass me by the crowd of people and the priests who sing their praise. Lord, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and this holy power of faith. Take me into holy of holies, and take me in body and blood of the Lamb, and take me into holy of holies. And take the cold, cleanse my lips, here I am, here I am. In the inner court, past the golden light, and through the incense altar, Lord, I long to see your light. Let me touch the colored curtain, the golden linen white, and part the veil that's hanging. All that keeps you from them sight, and take me into holy of holy. Take me in body of love, oh my love. Take me into holy of holies. And take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am, I want to see you. Take me into
in the cleft of the rock. Do not keep your spirit.
Bring me in the inner court. Thank you. Kadosh.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Fill me up till I run over. I want to run over. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. We are so grateful that you have allowed us to enter into this new day, this day that we have never seen before. Surely we will never, ever see this day again. Oh, my Father, I ask that you will speak to us and speak through me this morning, O God, as I yield to you this morning. We will be speaking on the subject matter. He gave his life to save ours. He gave his life to save ours. Hallelujah, Jesus. He gave his life to save ours. What an awesome gift. What an awesome miracle that the Savior would give his life so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. We are thanking God and praising God for this day as we go into this scripture. Father, we ask that our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Glory to God, glory to God. We are excited and we are delighted that he has allowed us to enter in today. Hallelujah. He allowed us to enter in today. Glory to God. Oh, yesterday, we had so much going on, and we just didn't press in. We just decided, the Spirit said, just let the music play. Let the music play. So that's what we did, let the music play. And it was worship, and a lot of people has given me the thumbs up and has responded that they were so grateful for the worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. We are excited. We pray that the Lord bless the hearers today. We're going into Romans chapter 22, chapter 3, excuse me, starting at verse 21. Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. I mean, you got to give him glory. You're alive. You're here this morning. You are here. You are here this morning in the land of the living. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse. Thank you, Deacon. Verse 21. And the Bible says here, Paul is speaking. The Apostle Paul, he says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being testified about by the law and the prophets. That is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now Paul is saying that this word, there's no doubt, there's no if or buts, the word has been released in the law. You know what the word has been saying. It's been speaking this thing very clearly. Hallelujah. So here Paul quotes Psalm 14 verse 1 and 3 to support his argument that sin is common to both Jews and Greek. In Romans chapter 3 verse 10 to 12, some Jews may have objected to the claim that Jews and Gentiles were of equal standing before God with regard to sin. Paul's conclusion simply affirms what the Old Testament already says about humanity's sin and righteousness. You see, Paul is quoting just like Jesus did when he was here on earth in the flesh. He keeps quoting Moses, the Old Testament, which they gave to Moses. Hallelujah. God gave the law to Moses. Moses didn't just get it one day and say, I'm going to write the law. God gave it to him. Just like he gave us the New Testament, he gave us the whole book from Genesis to Revelation, law, and he gave us grace because the New Testament speaks of grace. So he gave us grace in the New Testament. Hallelujah. But sometimes folk, when they are moving and grooving, they don't believe that they ought to extend grace. They believe that they are perfect and they're better than everybody else. So they don't extend grace because they become this or become that. They put everybody else on the sideline. But you're not as good as I am. You can't speak the word like I can speak the word. You can't prophesy like I can prophesy. You can't praise like I can praise. You can't pray like I can pray. You can't preach like I can preach. You know, folk have that kind of mentality. But God is not looking at how well we preach or how well we sing or dance. He's looking at how well we live the gospel, how well we live the law. The law is the schoolmaster. Hallelujah. And what did the schoolmaster do? The schoolmaster exposed all the faults that's in you, in us, so that we can repent and come to him. Hallelujah. So here Paul continue in chapter 3 at verse 24. He says, being justified or make perfect as a gift by his grace, being justified, saying that we were put in right standing by his grace or his mercy, unmerited favor that Jesus had extended to us from the cross. We have this gift that he has given us from the cross, the gift of life. We ought to be dreading death, but he gave us life from the cross. He gave his life so that we wouldn't have to die. He gave his life to save our life. Hallelujah. All out of our lives. All of us who will repent and come to him. Those who repent will live. I mean, live eternally. Who repent and turn to Jesus will live eternally. Hallelujah. Because the flesh is going to die. But the soul will live on forever in some realm. As in the realm of holiness or the realm of righteousness with God, realm of eternity with God, or eternity with the devil and his foes. So we have to make that decision. It's in our hands. God has given that in our hands, the place in our hands. The choice is in our hands. To choose to live holy, a righteous life, or life that's pleasing. Holiness is all holiness is pleasing God. That's what it is, pleasing God, obeying God, doing what, adhering to God, what God say to do. That's what holiness is. You know, if you're not adhering to God, if you're not doing what God say to do, you're not living holy, you're living sinful. And people say, well, I can't live for it. You know why? Because they still want to do. They want to do all the things of the world. You have people that prophets and prophetess and evangelists and the apostles and pastors and bishops and teachers and deacons and elders and ushers, and they find it hard to live holy. Because why? You still want to do the things that's in the world. They don't want to give up the world system. They can't let go. It's just like Lot's wife coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah. No, she wants. She was walking out of Sodom and Gomorrah with her husband and her daughters, but she had to look back because her spirit wanted to go, but her flesh wanted to stay. You see, and that's how we are. We come to God and we want to be with God, but our flesh still wants to go back to the club. Our flesh still wants to shack up and still want to get drunk and act a fool and cuss and stuff. That's why you see that some leaders are still cussing. Still cussing. You get them out, they'll cuss you out in a minute. You just get them upset. They'll cuss you out. They forget that they signed a contract to God that I'm going to live and serve you. I'm going to let my light shine that men can see and glorify the Father in heaven. But then at that particular time, the light goes out. The light goes completely out because now they're cussing and acting like the devil child. Here, Paul says, whom God made publicly available as the mercy seat through faith in his blood for a demonstration of his righteousness because of the passing over of previously committed sins. In the forbearance of God for the demonstration of his righteousness in the present time, so that he should be just and the one who justifies the person by faith is Jesus. Now see that? The one who put us in right standing, the believer, the one that repents, the one that turned from sin and turned to Jesus, and receive him as Lord and Savior, Jesus put him in right standing before the Father, before God. This is why we have to repent. Don't allow anything to fester inside your mind, in your heart, that will cause you to go back and start doing the things that we were doing before. I know that this is not a jumping message, but it's a message of salvation, of how to work out your own salvation with fear and tremble, like Paul said in the book of Corinthians. We have to work up this, our salvation, hallelujah, with fear and trembling, knowing that if we don't work this salvation up, if we don't live holy, that we're going to go to hell. That's what the fear was. We have fear. We are fearful. We don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven. You know, people that say, you'll hear everybody say, well, I'm going to heaven. Ain't nobody going to stop me from going to heaven, but as they're living to go to heaven. You see, because anybody can say, the cat can say, the dog can say that, the bird can say that. I say it from time to time. But then I check myself, and I say, Lord, I want to go to heaven, so I know I got to do everything, so show me, lead me, guide me. Because guess what? There's things going to happen to take you out of that mindset, out of that heavenly mindset, that framework, hallelujah, of wanting to go to heaven and what you have to do to go there. You're not just going to get up and say, well, I'm going to get my wings. I'm going to fly on and go on into heaven. No, you have to live to get in there. Live a lifestyle. Jesus said, when you come and say, Lord, Lord, I've done this and done that in your name, he's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Why? Because he knows. He's checking your life. He's checking our life. Every day he's watching us. He's watching us. His eyes is upon the children of God. And that's why he brings correction. When correction comes, we don't want to take correction. We get mad. We tell the pastor, the bishop, the apostle, whoever is in charge, who you think you are? You can't talk to me that way. See, because the flesh is showing up. See, if we allow the spirit to rule and reign, what would happen is we would take correction from each other, or we'd take correction from the leaders so that we can grow. So that we can grow and we will be a candidate for heaven. But let's go back into this word. I don't have too much of this of you. I'll go somewhere else. Jesus paid the ultimate price at the cross for you and I. Now here in verse 27 of Romans chapter 3. Therefore, where is boasting? It has been excluded. By what kind of law? of works. No, by a law of faith. For we said not by boasting or of works, but by the law of faith. For we consider a person to be justified by faith apart from the works of the law. See, you see the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the priests back then, they taught that if you do this and do that, and you do all of these works, that you were a candidate for heaven. But the Bible says, not your works, lest any man will boast. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, hallelujah, glory to God, not how many works we do. It's not the works. It's what he's done at the cross. So he says, for we by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We have to understand it doesn't matter how much we do. We evangelizing, we prophesying, and we're doing all this stuff, but no, it's not that. It's the faith that we have, you individually and collectively, that we have in Christ Jesus on the finished work of the cross, what he has done on the cross that saved us. The shed blood. The Bible said without the shed of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness. The blood cleanses us. The blood puts us in right standing. When we come and repent and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and when we begin to walk it out. Now, it's good to say you repent. It's good to say I believe in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross. But now our lifestyle has to show that. We have to live that life that shows that we believe in Jesus Christ, what he did. He is holy. We got to be holy, too. We got to live a holy life. We can't just say I believe in him and still doing the same dirty, filthy stuff. We're still slipping and dipping. We can't do that. We have to walk it out. So Christ has done it all. He says, glory to God. He said, yes. But is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Paul said, yes. Also of the Gentiles, since God is one who will justify those who are circumcised by faith and those who are uncircumcised through faith. Therefore, do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. But we uphold the law. See what Paul is saying? And you hear people saying that we the law doesn't stand. We're not on the law. We are on the grace. So they don't count the law. Apostle, not so. Not so. We don't discard the law. The law still stands. The Ten Commandments, all the commandments, because they're more than ten, but the ten that he gave, it still stands, and all that he gave still stands. We got to live by the whole word of God. Ezekiel says, we got to eat the whole scroll. We got to live by the whole word of God, the whole complete word of God. Not some. Don't just pick up the word that sounds good to you and say, well, that's what I'm going to take. You know, because that's what we do. We pick out the word that sounds good to us, and we say, well, I don't have to do that because we're no longer under the law. We're under grace. But Paul says, no. Therefore, do we nullify the law through faith? He said, may it never be. In other words, he said, God forbid. But we uphold the law. This is why you find so many folk are doing the things that are contrary to God's instructions, because they're saying we're not under the law, and you have folk slipping and dipping, doing all these things that will take them into hell, will cause them to bust hell wide open, because they say, well, we're under grace, we're not under law. Yes, we're under grace, but the law still stands. The law is to keep us from sinning. So when we look back and say, oh, God has this here. God has had this here turned down by holy men. So I can't do that because God, this is one of God's commands that we should not do this. Hallelujah. We find ourselves going back and forth. Now let's go back in here. And we're talking about he gave his life to save ours. Talking about Jesus. He gave his life when we came out of Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 31. Being justified, to be justified means to be set right or declared righteous. It refers to both the acquittal of all charges and the provisions of right status before God. Justification. It stands in contrast to condemnation. Either you are justified or you're condemned. Which one are you? I want to be on the side where I'm justified. I'm in right standing with God through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, we tell you that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So we want to be under the blood. To be under the blood, we have to live holy. No unholy thing can stand underneath the blood. That's why we must repent and we must submit our will, way and our will to Christ Jesus. In other words, we have to be obedient to all of his instructions, not some. Not the ones that make us and supply for all needs for us. We will get excitable prosperity, but when it comes to God telling you that we can't shack up and we can't get drunk and we can't cuss and all that stuff, we don't know because we want to fit in instead of standing up. God does not call, he did not call us to fit in. He called us to stand out. We must be the light in the darkened place. We must be in the salt in the place that needs seasoning. That makes a difference. So we make a difference. The redemption. The Greek word used here, apolitruos, refers to the act of freeing a slave or prisoner by payment. People were enslaved to sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 16 and 17 and verse 20. So God offered his son as the payment to redeem them. Verse 24, 25. And chapter 8 of Romans, verse 32. Compare Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Paul's understanding of redemption probably was shaped by two paradigmatic acts of redemption in Israel history. The Exodus and the return from the Babylonian exile. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 11. Isaiah 62 and 12. Talking about the mercy seat, the Greek word used, Heliterians, refers to the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 15 to 16. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the Jewish high priest would apply animal's blood to this lid, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14. Paul's descriptions suggest that Christ functions as the locus of atonement in the New Testament. In his blood, Saint identifies Jesus' blood as the means for dealing with sin. See, the blood must be, the blood cleanses, the blood restores, the blood heals, the blood delivers. See, when you call and you come in with a mindset of repentance, godly repentance, you experience a spiritual change. When you have this thing operate out of your soul, not just out of your mouth or out of your head, you know, because people say, I repent, and they cry. And the pastor said, oh, yes, she repent, he repent. Look at the tears. But the next day, they're doing the same thing. Maybe not the next day, the same night. Why? Because it's not the mouth. The mouth is not repentance. You just verbally say that. It got to come out of the soul. It got to come out the heart, the spiritual heart. Repentance comes from there. That's why it said godly repentance leads to salvation. Now it says that. Listen. Leads to repentance. Godly repentance. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. No. He says that. His blood, Jesus' blood as the means for dealing with sin. Previous note, it refers to the blood of Jesus signify his violent and sacrificial death. in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, Isaiah 52 and 15. He demonstrates the love, the compassion, the mercy, and the grace that he has for humankind by the love that he shared on the cross. Because remember, we say, you'll hear many preachers say this. It wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It wasn't the nails. It was the love that he had for mankind, for the lost sheep. Hallelujah. Jews and Gentiles. He went there for everybody. His demonstration of his righteousness through the crucifixion of Christ, God showed himself righteous. He judged sin, but also provided righteousness for those who have faith in Christ. Isaiah 53 and 11. Passing over a previously committed sins. God had left the sins of previous generations unpunished. This demonstrates his kindness towards humanity, not indifference towards sin. Verse 26 of chapter 3, forbearance of God. It refers to the patience God displays when delaying punishment for sin, demonstration of his righteousness in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, 25 and 26. Just refers to an attitude of God's character. God is just. Man is unjust. God is just. Man is unjust. By faith in Jesus, the faith is the means by which God justifies a person. Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 25. Now in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, talks about boasting. The Greek word used here, akousis, refers to pride towards human accomplishment. Now, how many people know that a lot of times, even in the church, that when folk begin to get big homes, leaders get big homes and big cars and money in the bank, that they walk and put their chest up like they're right. So, well, I'm the bishop. I'm the chief apostle. I'm a this. I'm that. I'm the archbishop. I'm this. And they walk with pride. You understand what I'm saying? Well, he asked this question here in this verse. Therefore, where is boasting? Where is boasting? He asked the question. It has been excluded. There's no need to boast because you haven't done anything for what you received. That's what I'm getting from it. We have not done anything for what we have received from the cross. Jesus did it all. He paid the price. He paid our sin debt with the old sin for our sin debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. And we couldn't pay the debt we owe. So where are we boasting? Because we have a nice car, we have a nice home. We can buy anything we want to because we have finance, we have money in the bank. We have the finest jewelry. There's no reason to boast. All that stuff got to leave behind anyway. Can't take another step with you. Boasting, the Greek, it refers to pride towards human accomplishments. Some Jews boasted of their possessions of the law and covenantal status as God's chosen people. But people are prone to boasting. Paul rejects such pride. If all have sinned, in Romans chapter 3 and 23, no one has any basics to boast. All have sinned. He didn't say some. He didn't put the priests, the rabbis on a pedestal. He said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Especially in relation to the law. Faith excludes boasting because people are saved not by their works, but by the work of Jesus on the cross and by God's raising him from the dead. To be justified. To be justified, we must submit completely to Christ Jesus. Mind, body, and soul. I know some folk will say, well, I'm going to give this to God, but I'm not going to give that to God. You know, God, you can have this for, and I still want to do this. You know how we do? I still want to do a little bit of this. I want to do a little bit of that. We don't give God all, and God wants all or none. I talked about this the other day on the line. We had a soul singer, I think he died, Wilson Pickett, from down south, African-American, awesome singer. And he sang a song, 99 and a half wouldn't do it, got to have 100. I was singing about his girlfriend or wife or somebody. He said, got to have 100. 99, I don't want 99 and a half of your love for me. I want you to love me all the way, 100% of your love. That's what God wants from us. He don't want us to say that we love him, but we still want to shock up and we want to do this and do that. We want to run here and run there, drinking, drugging, smoking, all type of stuff that make our flesh feel, suffice our flesh. No, he wants us to surrender our flesh, our mind, our body, and our soul to him completely. See, so not works. Some people say, well, I can write a big check. I had a guy who was coming to the church here in Boston, and he drove the car from, the thing called Indianapolis 500, or what do you call it? He drives a racing car, and he had a big business. Also, he was a race car driver, and he would write checks for $10,000, $15,000, especially when we were going to India and stuff like that. He would write big checks, but he divorced his wife, and then he was shacking up with several young women in the church because he had nice fancy cars and stuff, you know, nice cars, BMWs and nice sport trucks and stuff. You know, had several different cars and had a nice home. Still got the home. Well, the pastor didn't say nothing to him because he was just checking up with different women in the church. You're seeing with one woman for a couple of months, next year with another one, and so on. Well, the pastor figured, well, once he's writing these checks and we can go to India and do this and we can do this for people in India and stuff, well, it's all right. Well, not all right. No, because you're doing works. Works are not going to get you in. How much we give is not going to get us in. How much we do is not going to get us in. What's going to get us in is how we live. How do we live? How are we living for him? Are we living a holy life? Are we living a righteous life? Are we completely surrendered to the kingdom? Are we part kingdom and part world? So we got to make up a choice. I'm talking to the devil. He gave his life to save us. He didn't have to. He could have started a whole new generation. But he came and went and stayed on the cross because he loved us and he wanted his brothers and sisters back. God wanted his children back. So he sold his son into the earth. His only begotten son he sold into the earth on the cross. But the worst pain that any person can go through, nails, spikes going through his bone. Going through his bones. With a sledgehammer, pounding those spikes into his body. Piercing his side with a big spear. Can you imagine that? He didn't have no anesthesia, just bored his side. Making sure that he died, water and blood come out. That's what justifies you, when you believe in the blood, when you believe in what he did at the cross. And then when you begin to live it out, not just saying I'm going to church Sunday morning because I want to hear words from my pastor. I want to hear what God's going to say today. And then you come up to church and act like a fool. What was the point? You could have stayed home. You could have listened to your pastor on the internet. You could have listened to him on Instagram or Twitter or Periscope. If you're going to go and waste that gas and time going in there and then come up doing the same stuff, not even repenting and changing, making any change. But living the same life you lived before you even say you received Jesus. Not asking Jesus to change you. Not even trying to change. You know, folks say, well, God knew I was going to do that. Yes, he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. But to give you opportunity to live, to allow him to change your life. See, you got to surrender your life for God to change your life. As powerful and awesome as God is, and he can do what he wants to. But he gives us a will. Which is the same thing as a choice. He gives us a will that we can choose to surrender to him and let him change our life, our focus, our mindset, or we can continue playing church. Go and do it with our chest pushed up like we all that, and the bag of chips of the Pepsi-Cola, and coming up worse than we went in, because we're not surrender. We're talking about he gave his life to save ours. Apart from works of the law, since God justified people regardless of whether they meet the requirement of the law, he can put the Gentiles who were not under the law in right relationship with himself. Because of faith in his son Jesus, God can change your life because you put your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and decide to allow him to do what only he can do, change you. Those who are circumcised and those who are uncircumcised will be saved through the blood. Do we nullify the law? Paul, hypothetically, partner raises a concern about justification apart from the law. But Paul does not mean that Jews should dismiss the law completely. Rather, they should not consider it to the means of to be in right relationship with God. You have to have faith in his son. The law alone is not going to get you in. Jesus is the doorway or the gateway to the Father. You're not going to get in because you know the law, because you know the five books of Moses. If you don't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. Simple. Simple. He's the doorway. You're nobody going in without him. You say, I don't have to believe in it. Less than 2 minutes with Oprah Winfrey last night on YouTube. And she had all of these big preachers. You know all the names. I'm not going to put their names on there. But they had all their names. You know all their names. She had all these big preachers, the bishops and the pastors and all of them that had to make all that money. And she asked them a very profound question for men that are, men are servants, I say they are servants of God that are leading thousands and thousands of people. And I hear the bishop says, no, I don't believe he exists. He's the only way. I don't believe he exists the only way. When the Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through him. He didn't say that with another person, an angel, an apostle, a bishop, a deacon. Jesus alone. That's why he alone went to that cross. Yes, there were two other thieves there, but they didn't went to the cross for your sin or my sin or our sin. They were on the cross because they were sinful men committing crimes. Thieves and murder. Jesus was without sin. But he went there and took on our sin. Took our sin on and destroyed at the cross. So that if you call upon his name in faith, believing what he did at the cross, you'll be saved. And turn your life completely over to him. It's very hard, difficult for people to do that. I want to do that stuff. I still want to go to the nightclub. I still want to have a good time. Paul told his friends, no, we don't dismiss the law. Rather, they should not consider it the means to a right relationship with God, not the law alone. The law remains useful for moral instructions. Hear what it says? The law remains useful for moral instruction. In other words, it's the schoolmaster. It teaches us. It shows us what's right and what's wrong. That's what the law does. But Lord, we don't want to go back and teach the law anymore. We don't want to go back and teach the Old Testament anymore. Because everybody want to name it and claim it. They want the prosperity messages. But if you notice, Jesus talked a lot about it. And Paul did too. The apostle talked about the law. The law remains useful for moral instruction. It also details God's promises and his purposes in the world. We uphold the law. Romans 7 and 12. Paul affirms that the law is holy and good. However, the law only identifies sin and testifies that humanity is under the power of sin. It does not help overcome sin. Nevertheless, Paul specified that the law is not to blame. Indwelling sin is the real problem. Every one of us, you and I, were conceived in sin. So there was already sin in us. You don't have to teach people to cuss people out. They just cuss you out. They're born with sin. But people are taught to hate. They're taught to hate. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. Glory to God. And let's see. Let's look in the, excuse, in the Amplified Bible. Ezekiel chapter 18. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Just to know that he loved us enough to go to the cross and die for us. Pay a debt that we owed and we could not pay. Ezekiel chapter 18, and let's start at verse 19. Yet do you say, why does not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father when the Son has done that which is lawful and right and has kept all my statutes and has done them? He shall surely live. The Son will live. But the Father that sinned will die. The Son is living righteous and holy. The Bible says in the same chapter that the soul that sinneth shall die. He said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth shall die. You must get that. He didn't say the body. He said the soul. It's so important for us to get that, because you must understand that this soul that we say will live forever, God saying it will die. Where it's going, it's going to hellfire. In hellfire. In hellfire with the devil and his agents. So what we want to do, we want to repent and we want to turn to Jesus. We want to give our heart to God and we want to ask God to lead us in God's. We want God to give us instructions to live holy. I always say that living holy is hard. It's not easy, but it's attainable with the help of the Holy Ghost. You know, because we're living in a world where everything is bombarding you. Technology, the men, the women, they are coming after you. Because of what? Because of who you are and whose you are. You may say, well, I don't understand. She knows that I'm married. Why is she coming after me? Because of whose you are. Not because you're handsome. Not because you're attractive. Not because you got nice glossy hair. Not because you're busty and your figure is fine. They're not coming after you because of that. They're coming after you, male or female, because of whose you are. And the devil is discerned, like what Jesus told Peter. He said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. He wants to separate you from the Father. He wants to separate you from serving God. He wants to separate you from living holy. That's sifting. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we don't see it that way. We say, well, we push our chest up. Oh, I didn't believe it. She's 19 years old. I'm 72. She's 21, 20, 23 years old, and she's after me. And you feeling, you push your chest up, not realizing she's not after you. She's after to stop you. The devil has sent you. She's one of God's agents. He's one of God's agents that has been sent to stop you from living holy. Because your holy lifestyle is drawing people to Christ. the light that is shining out of your life is drawing people, having people, allowing people to see Christ through you. One pastor sing a song back in Virginia. He sing the song, I don't know the words, but he sing the song that you may be the only Bible that the sinner man see or read. I don't know if this guy died and he was a heroin addict and he became an elder in the church. He gave his life to Christ. But he said, could have sing real, could sing really good, really well. And he said that, he sing that sound that live your life in a way that your life shows who you are and whose you are. Because you may be the only Bible that the sinner man reads or sees. And that makes sense. But here in this text here, he said the soul that sins, it is the one that shall die. The son shall not bear and be punished for the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear and be punished for the iniquity of the sons. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him only, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him only. You see that? This is why we have to, we as parents, when we got children that are acting up a fool, we got to introduce them to our Lord, to our Savior. We will want to tell everybody else about Jesus, but don't tell our family members about Jesus. And we still think we're going to see them in heaven. And it's sad to be having a belief in your heart that you're going to heaven because you're living according to the instruction that Jesus has given. You are trying your utmost best to walk in the light, continue in the light. But you got sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters and great-grandsons and great-granddaughters that are going to hell, going to bust hell wide open because you wouldn't even take the time to tell them, so at least they have an understanding that Jesus is Lord. And that there's no other way to the Father except through him. But as the wicked man turns from all his sins that he had committed and keeps all my statutes and does that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. You see that? When we talk to them about Jesus and take the time to explain to them who Jesus is, what he's done at the cross, and what it can do in their hearts right now if they would only repent and give their life to him, that they would live. They wouldn't have to go to hell. None of his transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him. For his righteousness which he has executed, for his moral and spiritual rectitude, is in every area our relation, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked? The Lord asks, says the Lord. And not rather that he should turn from his evil way, turn to his God and live? So this is a question that he asks. God wants everyone to be saved. Because he claimed every soul. He said, every soul is mine. Every soul. Go up to verse 4, same chapter. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinned, it shall die. And he quote here, he parallel that scripture with Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to understand this, that if we continue in sin, people of God, the world is turning so fast, and we are sitting back. Matter of fact, not even sitting back, we are in a dead sleep. Because things seem like they're happening for us. We're able to go to the gas station. We're able to go to the grocery store. We're able to go to the mall or send somebody to the mall to buy us shoes or suits or whatever. We're able to do the things that are necessary. So we forget and we don't have the concern or the love for our brothers and sisters that are dying and going to hell. We don't want to tell nobody. It's about me, my phone, no more. You're not helping anybody. You're not helping anybody. Go to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. We will take this one out of the Hosea, the New Living Translation. Keep praying for our brothers, okay? Keep praying for our brothers. It's, we all have to pray for each other. There's so much going on. I tell you, so much going on right now. So we have to, Hosea chapter 14. Let's start at verse 1. And it says, healing for the repentant. It says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. God, through the prophet, has ministered to the people to return from their sinful lifestyle. God is saying to the United States of America that we need to return from our sinful lifestyle. You know, if you look around, you know, people don't want to talk about it. A lot of preachers don't want to talk about it. And a lot of preachers are running scams on other preachers. I'll find that out, too. Watch this, I'm telling you. Because the devil, he and his agents enter into the house. Some people call it the church. That's not the church. That's the building that houses the church. He comes up in the house, trying to enter the church, into individuals and collectives, to the people, into the people's hearts and minds, to get them back to the lifestyle they were living. He's not satisfied. The devil never going to be satisfied till you're back on his payroll sinning. But he said, bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins, not some, but all our sins, and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. We want to be back with the Lord. Folk out there that has severed themselves. God don't cut nobody away. They cut themselves away from God because they want to get. I watched the young women today. They got the earrings in the nose. They got the nose ring. They got the eyebrow ring. They got the jaw ring. The tongue ring in their tongue. And all these earrings. Some got 10 earrings on the ear. I mean, there's just some border ears, like the African tribes, like the tribal, you know, where they put that big thing inside the ear and make the ear stretch and in the lips and stuff. I mean, they're just going crazy, plumb crazy. And then you got some that they're going in, they got so caught up now with the Hebrews and the Israelites and all this kind of stuff. And then they end up treating their own family bad. Because they said, well, we're Israelites, and you're not Israelites, and because you're not Israelites, I can't do this for you, and I can't do it, and all this kind of foolishness. But you need to do is serve Jesus Christ. Serve Jesus Christ. Serve him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Live according to the word instead of trying to see which tribe you belong to, who tribe you are. Man, be the tribe of Jesus Christ. Become the tribe of Jesus Christ. Live holy. People saying they're Israelites and they're all this stuff and the Hebrews and all this stuff. Man, they're full of hate. They don't have no compassion, no mercy, no grace. And he still think they're going to heaven. Man, I tell you. He said, the Assyria cannot save us, nor can the war horses. You were saying in here, you were saying your cars and your homes, and the highfalutin people that you're hanging out with, those great bishops and great apostles and great pastors and teachers that you're hanging with that claim to be great here in this earth realm, they can't save you. Only Jesus can. Do you hear what I'm saying? The message today is that he gave his life to save ours. Jesus. Yahweh, Yahusha. He gave his life. The Holy One of Israel gave his life so that all lives will be saved. Now you have to live according to his instructions. not according to your pastor. Because a lot of pastors not preaching the whole word. They're not preaching the whole word. They're preaching half of the word to, you know, so that you give more. They don't want you to be convicted of your sin. So they don't tell you about that stuff. You got the lesbians, you got the homosexuals, you got the dope dealers, you got the prostitutes, you got them all up in the church. And it's good to be, then come, let them come. But you know you got to teach them how to get out that sin. Show them how to get out. Don't let them keep sinning in the house of the Lord. Show them how to get out. Show them with love, not judgmental. Show them with love how to get out, how to overcome. Man, I was a rebel. Oh, my God. I was a rebel. This stuff, man, fornicating, adultery, lying, getting drunk, smoking all type of dope. Man, I'm telling you, even the stuff that they put up the dead people with, that embalming oil, man, we put that on parsley. The guy used to put that on parsley. They call it angel dust. And then we smoke it. And you'll be gone for days. Man, people were stripped naked and all type of stuff and hiding in the closet and all that kind of stuff because the stuff will make you really loony. I did all that stuff. But thank God for Jesus. Man, I take three or four of the guys that I used to smoke with. Younger than I am. The last one I heard, he was at the bus stop and dropped on dead. But I gave my life to God. And he drew me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he cleansed me from all unrighteousness according to his word. I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected. None of us are perfect, but we're being perfected. Every day he's perfecting us for that day when he comes to receive us. You understand? He's perfecting us. He's doing this. God Almighty, our God, our Savior, he's doing this. Jesus, King Jesus is doing it. He's perfecting us, keeping us secure from the adversary. Let's go back into the state. He said, never again will we say, verse 3, never again will we say to the idols, we have made you, never again will we say to the idols, we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. See, the folk has turned from the great Jehovah God and begin to make idols like we do. You say, well, I'm not a woodworker. Well, you don't have to go there and take a chisel and a hammer and make a wooden idol. You buy your car. You buy your home. You bought your home. You buy your home. Because, you know, you die, you still didn't pay off that home. It still belongs to the government. But you buy your home. And you got your fancy car. And you got your alligator crocodile shoes and your nice robes and suits and all that stuff. And nice dresses, and nice wigs and stuff. Nice jewelry. And you make them your law. You make them your idol. You make them your God. People have shot people for touching their car after they detail the car. They worship their car. So don't look at the Israelites and say they worship these idols, these wooden gods, birds, and the birds made out of wood and men and women made from wood. You know, that can't talk, that eyes can't see, ears can't hear, feet can't walk, you know. But you look at your car, your home, your dog, your Rottweiler, your pit bull, your little schnauzer. You made them your God. You worship them more than you worship God. And he said, no longer will we call these things our gods. Now, will we allow the office to think that they can do anything for them? The Lord says, verse 4, I will heal you of your faithlessness. See, God will set you free. Even when you had a mindset to serve him, to honor him, you had no faith in him. So I'll heal you. And you come with repentance. How to repent? God said, I'll heal you. I'll set you free from that doubt and unbelief. He said, My love will know no bounds. The love of God, no matter who you are, what you've done, It has no bounce. Remember that I told you the story some years ago here on Blog Talk with a prostitute was trying to become part of a church. God had told us. He said God had told her in the dream that she needed to change her life. And she was convicted. And she went to this church, saw this pastor calling Father somebody, probably a Catholic church, because she called him Father. True story. And she said, well, Father, you know, the Lord told me that I need to change my life. And she said, I want to become part of your church. And he looked at her, and she was wearing a little short mini dress, mini skirt. You know, where she couldn't even pick up something, you'll see her on the clothes. Was so short. And he looked at her, and automatically he started judging her. And he said to her, you sure that the Lord tell you that to join our church? Hear what he said, his church. And she said, yes, sir. And she said, he said, well, I got to talk to the elders and the deacons and so on and see what they say. So when he goes to the deacons, and the elders, they said, well, Father, you know, you're the leader. You're the head here. You make the decision. And they told him, well, go pray about it. And he went to pray, but God didn't ever answer him. He had never got an answer. He told the lady, well, he was seeking God for an answer about that. So he didn't see her for a while at the grocery store. They met at the grocery store. And when he did happened to go back to the grocery store another time and met the prostitute again. God set up all this thing. She asked him, said, sir, do you talk to the elders and the deacons? He said, yeah, I talked to them, but they didn't have an answer, so I had to talk to God. And she said, what did God say? He said, God didn't say nothing. So he told her, why don't you go and talk to God and see if God really wants you to be part of our church? So she goes and prays. And time went by another couple of weeks, and they met again at the same, happened to meet up at the same grocery store. And he asked the priest or pastor, whatever he was, asked her, what did God told her when she asked God? And she told him what the Lord told her, stop trying to get in the church. That body of believers. See, because he'd been trying to get in there for years. They haven't let him in. What is he saying? God wasn't even in that church. They had a form of godliness, but they were denying the power thereof. He wasn't even there. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't even there. God said that he said that he will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. This is God. And I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send roots deep into the soil like the cedars in Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedar of Lebanon. My people will again live under my shade, talking about his protection. When God is coming, when God is drawing you out, God will protect you. God will take you place you've never been before. Now when you have received him in your heart, you will spread. The work that you have received from him will spread all over the world. You want to tell somebody, this is what he's saying. You will want to tell somebody of his marvelous works. That's when you have totally surrendered. He said, my people will again live in under my shade, that protection. They will flourish like grain and blossom like green grapevines. They will be as fragrant as the wines of Lebanon. Or Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. Psalm 1, all your fruits come from me. Let those who are wise understand these things, Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. Hear what the Lord is saying. I'm talking about he gave his life to save us. But we have to adhere to him. We have to surrender to him. Go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And we will, the message. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. We have to get, we have to be willing to hear what the Lord is saying. And we have to surrender. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1. The message from God to Jeremiah. Stand in the gate of God's temple and preach this message. Say, listen, all you people to Judah who come through these gates to worship God. God of the angel armies, Israel God, has this to say to you. Clean up your act. The way you live, the things you do, so I can make my home with you in this place. Hear what God is saying. This is the message, Bible. God is speaking to Israel. Here today, God is speaking to us. This word is for us too. We have to clean up our act. We can't think that we got it together. So many walk around and act so holy, so pious. Their chest is pushed high. But they don't have a relationship with him. Who him I'm talking about? With Jesus. They don't have a relationship with God. That's why they can't love and can't care for each other. We ought to be our brother's keeper. We ought to be helping one another. Hallelujah. I had one of my brothers. I've been talking to him for several years. And I prophesied the Lord gave me a word for him and his wife many years ago. And God blessed him with a home. He hadn't worked, for about 7 months. Because one of the people that he was a supervisor in the mall in Virginia. And one of the very people that he helped from his own country still lies about him. He's a man, a strong man of God. I mean a man that loved the Lord with everything that's within him. Love, and his wife is just serious, sold up for the Lord. And, you know, it's not strange, but you know how the devil uses this people in the house of the Lord to come against each other, to cut him up. And he called me. So we thank God that God was there to give him the help that he needs. This is what we do. God's telling us it's his people. Clean up your act. The way you live. The things you do. So I can make my home with you in this place. We got to stop playing church. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not talking about you all on this line today, but I'm talking about those that go hear this message all over the world. The church has to clean up itself. I was listening to a preacher a couple of days ago. Well, I'm not hearing too much of what he's saying, but the statement he made, he was talking to the African church, and he's an awesome preacher. He's an evangelist, and he's also a part of the Kenya army. He's a soldier, but he's also a soldier in God's army. And he said African preachers need to stop going to the witch and warlocks looking for power and going to the Kundalini spirit looking for power and seek God who gives you true power. Because they got a lot of fake stuff going on in the church. It sounds good. It sounds eloquent. They're not worshiping Jesus. Not the same God. They're making all of these signals that mesmerize the people to make the people give. Instead of doing what God says to convict the people's hearts by his word, the whole word of the God, God's word, the whole scroll, the whole rule. So the people be convicted. Then they get mad at you or mad at me, get mad at us. But while they're driving, going on the highway, guess who's going to talk to them? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit go come back. Go bring back. We got to take the word that they heard to convict them, to clean their lives up so he can dwell in their place. He says, don't for a minute believe the lies being spoken here. This is God's temple. God's temple. God's temple. Three times he said the same thing. This is God's temple. God's temple. God's temple. He said, total nonsense. Only if you clean up your act, the way you live, the things you do, only if you do a total spring cleaning on the way you live and treat your neighbor, only if you quit exploiting the street people and orphans and widows, no longer taking advantage of innocent people on this very site, and no longer destroying your souls by using this temple as a front for other gods. Listen to God speaking in the message. I like this in the message. Only then will I move into your neighborhood. God said, look, I'm not even coming into your neighborhood. You hear what God said? I'm not even coming into your neighborhood because of the way you treat the orphans and the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, how you treat those that can't help themselves. This is God speaking. He said to them, only then will I move into your neighborhood. Only then will this country I gave your ancestors be my permanent home, my temple. You look at our nation, and you'll see the things that our nations are doing today. Look for yourself. Don't ask me. When you talk, they see you talking against the homosexuals. No, we're not talking against the homosexuals. God spoke against it. God spoke against it. You hear what he said? He spoke against it. You got to speak against all sin, not just the homosexuals, not just the lesbians, not just the prostitutes, not just the dope pusher, not just the pimps and the loan sharks. You got to preach, you got to teach against all sin. A-double-L. You got people God talks about in this house, in the temple. This is God talking. In the temple, that's the church. How they defile the church. Today, if you talk about it, they got preachers, apostles, and bishops and pastors will come against you because you talk against, you say what God said. They want you to be in agreement with these corrupt preachers. They want you to be in agreement with them. Well, it's better to walk alone and be the lone preacher than to be with some of these preachers that are corrupt and destroying the sheep. Walk by yourself. Preach the gospel. Somebody going to hear. God's going to bring people. God's going to send people. Going to love people to hear the message that he's speaking through you. Hear what I'm telling you. Let me finish this thing up. Someway I'll come back and do another part of this. Guy got so many scriptures. I'm going to do this, finish this scripture here, and then I'm going to pray and get out. Here, verse 8 in the Message Bible. Look it up for yourself. This is really plain as you can get it. Get smart. Your leaders are handing you a pack of lies, and you're swallowing them. Use your heads. Do you think you can rob and murder, have sex with the neighborhood wives, sterilize nonstop, worship the local gods, and buy every novel religious commodity on the market, and then march into this temple set apart for my worship and say we are safe, thinking that this place itself gives you a license to go on with all the outrageous sacrilege? God is asking this question. You hear what I'm saying? God is seeing us. God is watching us. And we think that we can continue doing all of this stuff. And God don't recompense us for it. You can read this whole chapter for yourself. I only want to go to verse 7, but I went down to verse 10. Listen to it. We can do more scriptures here, but the Lord is telling me to stop here. So I'm going to pray and stop. Father God, I thank you and praise you for this word that you have given us on today. And I pray, God, that we have spoken something pertaining to Jesus on the cross, his life that he gave for us, and that maybe somebody heard today and somebody received and somebody will receive, oh God, the gift of salvation, and they would not take it for granted. Lord, I ask you to bless my eyes, my ears, my lips, and Lord, allow me to hear as I go back into these notes that I have and pull up some sermons to preach and teach. Lord, could you tell me that this stuff that we have done years ago is still relevant today? So we have pulled up some other scripts, some other sermons out of this, my notebooks, and see what the Lord wants to say. We ask, God, that you bless every hearer, everyone that heard the word today, and everyone that would hear the word. Lord, let this word be an awakening for those that hear it and those that will hear it, that they will say, I know I have to give more. I have to give all, not more, but give all to the Lord. I've been holding back some of me myself, but I got to give all. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to receive. To those of you out there in computer land, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord. And if you knew him before but you have backslidden, I want to give you an opportunity to rededicate your life. You can say the same prayer when we do see the prayer. When we do see the say the prayer, you can rededicate your life. You know, come back home. Jesus really told them in this chapter here in the Message Bible. You know, the King James Bible is good too, but the Message just make it so raw. The Message Bible, you know, and I didn't study this in the Message, I studied this in the King James. But then when I was scrolling through my computer and I saw the Message, the Lord just says, all these Bibles are downloaded. He said, just tap on the, I heard it in my spirit, he said, tap on the Message. And I liked it in the Message because I read it in the King James Bible. But he says, go in the Message and read it from the Message. And he told them, he says, the God of the angel armies, Israel God, has this to say to you. Clean up your act, the way you live, the things you do, so I can make my home with you in this place. Can't want it no clearer than that. He's looking at us. He's searching our hearts. We look good on the outside. The nice robe, the nice suits, the nice dress, the nice wigs. All that's got your fingernails fixed, your nose, your toenails fixed, all that stuff fixed. You're trying to impress somebody on the outside. And God says, is that impressing me? You need to clean up. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to read some scripture to you. Your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it. Heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say the person is God. But God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose and determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now, this is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly, you would prefer to go to heaven and be sure, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven on your own effort. In Ephesians 2:8-9, Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's no point of boasting for something that you cannot do. Then he says, number three, believe that only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. He said, I am the way, the way, the way, the only way. Number four, you must accept Jesus Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I am still young and can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. You do not need to be old to be near eternity. Two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it, because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. Jesus said in Revelation 22:7, behold, I am coming quickly. He did not say I was coming quick. He said, I'm coming quickly. That means quicker than quick. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you're walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36b. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest the deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children and to everyone that are far off, even as many as the Lord God or God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. In chapter 4 of Acts, in chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name whereby we must be saved. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, the last book, last chapter, Jesus spoke to his disciples, said to them, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the word of God. Father, we thank you and praise you for the word you gave us, and we thank you for the prayer that we're about to say. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you want to receive him, repent as according to Acts 2 and 38. Tell the Lord that you're sorry. Mean it from your heart. Let it come from your heart, that your heart will begin to change. And invite Jesus into your heart. And if you have backslidden, rededicate your life. And the Lord, you're sorry for, turn away from him and ask him to forgive you and ask him to welcome you back. His arms are open wide. And you can say this little prayer that we're going to pray before we go. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, which says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. And if you say this prayer, say, Lord Jesus, according to the word, I believe that you were crucified at Calvary, or a hill called Golgotha, or the skull, and that you died there on the cross. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth now. Lord Jesus, I've lived my life in sin, doing whatever I choose, whenever and wherever and however. But today I've heard the word spoken on salvation, that you give your life to save ours, not just ours, but mine. I take it personal, to save my life. And today, believing what you have done at Calvary, that you were buried and that Father God raised you up on the third day from, you did all this for me. I now repent of my sin, asking your forgiveness. And I'm opening my heart, inviting you to come in and sit on the throne of my heart. Take up your rightful position as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I receive you now, Lord Jesus. And from this day, I know that my life will never be the same, because I am putting you first in everything that I say and everything that I do. And I pray this prayer that you would lead me and guide me each day on the path that I should travel. The words that I speak, Lord, I ask that you give them to me, Lord, that I speak only that which will edify and glorify. Lord, I thank you for saving me today and making me a new creature, a new creation in you, in Jesus' name. Now, if you said that prayer and you believe what you said, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, our recommendation is that you get a Bible. And you can, if you don't even have a Bible and you got a cell phone and you got the apps, go to the app store. You can download many Bibles on your phone, or you can on your computer. You can download them on your computer, but you also need to have a hard copy. So when the website go down, you still have your hard copy that you can go and open in and study the Word of God. I pray God for you. Study the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and go back to Genesis and come on down. However the Holy Spirit lead you, invite the Holy Spirit when you are studying the Word. And then get with other Christians that are studying the Word, that live in the Word, that walk in the Word. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize. Look, I received the gift of salvation. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and 38. I've repented of my sins, but I need to be baptized. And be specific about your baptism, because it's your life. You know, they may be baptized in other ways, but still, I want to be, telling me I would like to be baptized in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2:38. And if they say they don't baptize that way, don't cuss them out or get mad with them. Just leave and tell them, look, I'm going to get back with you when I get organized with my family to be baptized and invite my family and friends and co-workers and even my enemies. But search for a church that will baptize you in the name of Jesus. And then after you get baptized, you know, you have to look for a church that is teaching and preaching the gospel. And when we say the gospel, we mean preaching the whole book, you know, preaching the truth and not compromising the truth and watering down the truth, but giving you the whole truth so that you can live the truth. And we thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation, those that are baptized, and those that will get baptized in Jesus' name and come up with that water with fire, filled with the Holy Ghost, and ready to learn more about Jesus. Thank God for you all that came on today and heard the word. Yeah, if anybody wants to respond, you can respond now. If not, we're going to pray and close out. Yeah, word was good. I enjoyed it. Fill my heart with this word today. Anyone want to respond, you can. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. And we ask that you bless those that heard and those that would hear. Now, Father, as we leave this line but not your presence, we ask that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Pray, God, that you bless us, oh God, to be a blessing. Bless us for the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Lord. We ask for your mercy and your grace, God, that you continue to touch, oh God, and protect Apostle Washington, Linda Washington, James Washington, Deacon Fraser. Protect Apostle Stewart. Thank God for him again on the line today. Pastor Joyce Stewart. Protect them, Lord Jesus, against everything. And Lord, give them the words that they need to speak every day to the people that you made them watchmen over, Lord. We ask you, God, to continue to honor your word that you put in us. And God, we ask you to heal Prophetess Millie, her daughter, her sister, her nephew. And oh, Lord God, we ask you to keep Pastor James strong and healthy. And Deacon Fraser, Lord, heal his father, his mother, all those. And keep a watch over Minister Batmus, and their Batmus and Evangelist. Evangelist Campbell, I ask you to heal her son. Lord God, we ask, God, that you do this. And Lord, all those suffering from COVID, Lord, and the doctors that are practicing their medicine, and the nurses, Lord, that are treating them. Lord, we ask that you protect them, Lord, and keep them safe and secure. In Jesus' holy name, Lord, we leave this line, God, but not your presence. God, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you for this word that you've given us, Lord. You've given us a great word today. Lord, I don't know if I preached this word like this before, but I thank you, Father, for giving it to us today. You are such a merciful God, a righteous, holy God. And God, I thank you. Thank you again. We don't know who's going to bring the word tomorrow, but we'll be here tomorrow. We know Blog Talk Beyond tomorrow. And we thank you so much, Lord Jesus. I ask you to have mercy, protect us, lead us and guide us into all truth as we go forth from this word, this line, but not from your presence. We pray that we continue to be blessed and that we continue to be a blessing. Lord, we ask you to send more people to jobs that we will have. Let people that have problems with air conditioning, we ask them to make problems, but those that have problems and need the air conditioning service, let them get a word that I am able to do that. I have the gases and everything to do it and all the little gadgets that we need, the components to make the air condition work, Lord, that we will be make some funds to help those, help the poor, help the widows, help the fatherless, and help the widows. In Jesus' holy name, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord. forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. Stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from committing murder, kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." That means that all the characteristics of Jesus should be seen in us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, that they should see all that in us. We should be the Bible, the living Bible that they see activated. Have a blessed day. We will talk to you all tomorrow. If the God say the same, and we are still on this side of the grave. God bless you all. Bye-bye.